Hosea, the 8th chapter, verse number 1. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, and they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again today I thank you. I thank you for your wonderful grace, your goodness to us, your kindness. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross, to be buried, and to raise again. Now sitting at the right hand of the Father, Lord, and soon to return. We thank you so much for that wonderful truth and the wonderful promise and comfort it is to our hearts. I pray tonight, Father, for Master's Clubs. God bless them, help them, work with the leaders there, Father, and help them as they lead the Master's Clubs and all the workers and all the young people out there, Lord. Bless in an unusual way. And Father, we pray your blessings also upon the services here at in the auditorium here. God, help us, help this preacher as he preaches. We need your power, need your wisdom, and we need you to deal in our hearts tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've called the message tonight, the very first few words of verse number 1 in chapter 8, set the trumpet to thy mouth. And we're going to preach a message basically about the trumpet tonight. First of all, I want to just kind of skim through a little bit of the verses here. We have seen back through the 7 chapters, we've seen God dealing and warning over and over and over about the judgment that's going to come. Now it seems like in chapter 8, it comes to that place where he says the eagle's coming. It's coming. And there needs to be a trumpet blowed. And if you'll notice there, and I probably more than likely, he's talking about the Assyrians, because the Assyrians soon do come. And the Assyrians, of course, take the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, into captivity. I think he's probably talking about that when he talks about the eagle. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. Probably not talking about the temple there. The temple was in the southern kingdom. He's probably talking about the house of the Lord. He's probably talking about Israel as a whole, or at least the northern kingdom. And then he says, because, and he even gives us the reason why God is going to send judgment. He said, the judgment is coming because they've transgressed my covenant. God had made a covenant with them, of course, back in the Mount Sinai. He had made a covenant with them. He made a covenant with them when they went into the land and went there, and God gave them that land. And as long the covenant, as far as that covenant was made, it was a promise that would certainly last forever. He's promised them that land. But the covenant he made with them was, as long as they love God, as long as they walk with God, as long as they done right, they could stay in the land. And of course, they broke that covenant. And they broke that covenant, as he's even talking here. They transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. They went completely against the law of God. They had they was worshiping false gods and idols and all kinds of things. They just went against the word of God. And God says, you know, because you've done that, he says, I'm going to allow you to go into captivity. And I'm saying always, that's true for us too, that we need to remember there's always a consequence from walking away from God. There always is. You agree with that. I mean, there's a consequence. You say, well, that won't make any difference what I do and all this. No, yes, it does. There's a consequence for walking away from God. and not following the word of God, not walking with God. So there's a consequence. That's what he was telling Israel. So Israel begins to cry out. He says unto me, my God, we know thee. In other words, God, we know thee. Why are you doing this to us? We know thee. And of course, let me say to you, in some essence, that is a true statement. They did know him. They was his people. Their father was Abraham. They did know him in that respect, but they had not walked with God. They was not walking with him. And you know, I think about that sometimes because there's people all over. Back then there was too, but there's people all over this world who even denies God, and one of these days will be forced to acknowledge him, to bow their knee before him. Now they can have their fun now, and they can have their smart aleck remarks and everything else about being no God, and they're not going to bow to anybody, but they will. They will. There's those who have denied God, and I'll guarantee you one day they will acknowledge God. And not only that, there's those who have forgotten God. If you remember in the book of Hosea, he mentions the ones who had actually forgotten God. They just walked away from him, forgot God. I want to tell you, there'll be coming a time when they will be forced to remember God and glad to do so. There's those also who have refused the fellowship of God. They say they know God, but they do not fellowship with God. I'll guarantee you there's going to come a day when they'll be eager to be his friend. You see, I have trouble with it, honestly. I have trouble with people who just don't want to have anything to do with God, and yet say they are God's people. I really have trouble with that. And I want to tell you something, folks. When you refuse his fellowship, you walk away from God like Israel did, there's going to be some circumstances because of that. There's going to be some judgment because of that. Okay? So if we just get a hold of that and understand that, it would help us, certainly. So we find then, and he says, Israel has cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. He said, because Israel has cast away the good things, walked away from the Lord, cast away his word as the authority in their life, cast away the very purpose and reason that God made them and called them out to be a people. God called them out to be a people, to be an example to those around them, to the nations around them, and they absolutely went contrary to that and become like the nations instead of being an example for the Lord. You see, this was God's people. God called the church out for this very same purpose. God called the church out to be in the midst of this old world as an example to the world. And much of the church today has become like the world. You got it? We're not to become like the world. We're to be different. We're to set an example, you see. We're to be unique. We're to be different. Same thing with the individual Christian. The individual Christian was placed in communities and in neighborhoods, wherever you are, to be an example, you see, for your testimony for the Lord. And many Christians don't take to that anymore. They don't, you know, they just simply live the way they want to live, like the world lives, and they're not an example. I don't know. I know God has ways of doing a lot of things, but I know I can look back and say that one of the reasons that I stand here tonight and my family is saved is because of a couple across the road from us in Brazil, Indiana. Now, I want to tell you right now, if they hadn't been real, her and I wouldn't have paid much attention to them. Now, I'll guarantee you, Jerry and Ruth Ann Purcell, their family was real. They lived for God. They walked with God. And because of that, I wanted something to do with the Lord, see. So that's what we got to remember. We've got to be real. We've got to be an example to those around us, okay? So anyway, I'm going to go back now. We're going to go back to verse number 1 and look at this. And he said, set the trumpet to thy mouth. I want you to turn with me over to the book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter of Isaiah. And I want to just look at about five things tonight about the trumpet. Back in Isaiah, the 58th chapter of Isaiah. You're familiar with this, but I want to start in the last two verses in 57. The last two verses of chapter 57. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. Now, you know, man put the chapter headings and the divisions and all of that. The Word of God just went on reading. Okay, I'm glad they put chapters, divisions and all that. It helps tremendously. But the Word of God just goes on. And God says in verse number 58, because of the wicked, you see, and because there's no peace to the wicked, he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. What did God say? God said that it's time for us to lift up our voices like a trumpet. And I believe something with all of my heart. I believe there needs to be a lot more trumpet blowers. We are in need of trumpet blowers. We're in need of that terrifically. I don't know how much, and I don't get out around, but I talk to preachers, and I talk to people who come in, and all of these things, preachers that come in, evangelists that come in, and what I'm saying to you is, if we don't get some trumpet blowers out there, we're in real trouble. And I mean we're in real trouble. You see, what God has given instruction to is to blow the trumpet, and what for? Well, he said, you lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. See, we need some trumpet blowers out there that's giving forth the Word of God and showing forth the transgressions of the people. And he goes on to say, in the house of Jacob, their sins. I believe with all of my heart, we need to name sin. We need to talk about sin. You know, not just dilly-dally around it and sugarcoat it and you know, put cherries on top and all that stuff. No, we need to name sin for all of our sake. Amen. It needs to be named, and our transgressions need to be showed. You see, we need to keep that preaching, you see. Brother Russ and I was talking about, he was talking about how preaching is the giving of information. And I said, yes, sir, it is, but it's also a stirring of the hearts of God's people through the Word of God to be stirred to see their sin. You see, if a preacher just gets up and just doesn't show or open up the fact that there's sin and transgressions, and you see, if you're sitting out there tonight and you don't have those sins and transgressions, you're not worried about it, you're going to be saying, amen, Brother Ross, just go ahead and preach it. But if you are setting out, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to shift it over your shoulder to somebody else, or you're going to get right with God. See, and that's what it takes. It takes the showing, the blowing of the trumpet, you see. We need to do that, and we need to cry aloud when we do it. We need to let people hear the truth of the Word of God. And we need that. Amen? We need that. So I'm saying to you, we need some more trumpet blowers. We need some young men that'll answer the call to preach the Word of God and decide that they're not going to be just someone who's going to try to get along in life and be that mushy, you know, saying things that don't mean anything. No, they're going to get up and they're going to blow the trumpet. And they're going to cry aloud, and they're going to blow the trumpet, and they're going to show people their transgressions. They're going to show the house of Jacob, as he said, their sins. They're going to show their sins. I believe that's what's needed. Now, you know, and I know, too, there needs to be compassion and all of that. There needs to be this and that and all that. One man said, you know, when you preach on hell, you ought to preach with a tear in your eye. I think he's got a lot of the thought there. It's good because, you know what, we do need to have compassion, but we need preachers that will preach the Word of God and show people their transgressions, the house of Jacob, and that could be the house of the Lord, their sins. Now, you understand? You get a hold of that? See, and that's a trumpet. That's a voice. It sounds out. Now, I believe something. We'll talk about it in a minute, but I believe that you and I, maybe I'm doing it from behind the pulpit, but there needs to be people that's crying out and trumpeting out the word of God. Warning. Now, I'm gonna show you that in just a few moments. But first of all, I want to go to the book of Ezekiel, and show you not only do we need trumpet blowers, but we need to understand what the purpose of the trumpet is. Ezekiel, did I tell you? 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, We need to know the purpose of the trumpet. Why did God say, set the trumpet to thy mouth, Hosea? Why did God say that? You see, well, there's a purpose in it. And in chapter 33, let's just kind of read down through a few verses and find out, why blow the trumpet? What's it for? If you notice again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, that's in chapter 33, verse 1, son of man, speak to the children of my people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. You see, that's one of the main reasons of a trumpet. I know back in the Old Testament, I know the trumpet that was blowing to gather the people. I know the trumpet was blowing when they marched forward. But God says here in Ezekiel, you blow the trumpet, what for? To warn the people. See, one of the things that we need is so much is trumpets blowing that will warn people. He was using the illustration of an army that come onto the land and the sword was coming against that land. And so you set up a watchman to watch for them to come, the enemies to come. And the watchman was to blow the trumpet and warn the people when the enemy came. But that same principle, and I believe it's what God intends for us to understand, that same principle is, folks, there's a hell out there waiting. There's our enemy, old Satan. We're living in terrible, hard, difficult times. And it's getting wicked in our times. And we better be warning the people. See, so the trumpet's purpose is to warn the people. Look at verse number 4. And he says, and whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. You know there's multitudes. You know they're not hearing. Some of them don't want to hear, but some of them has never been told. Right. And that's what he says. He said he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. You see, and he says, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Well, that's a serious verse of scripture. That's a serious principle that we need to understand. We are responsible. We are watchmen to blow the trumpet. And if we don't blow it when the danger is there, he says the blood is going to be on our hands. How can we walk through life not being a testimony of Jesus Christ to the world around us? How can we do that? And just as though it's okay. God says the blood's going to be up on our hands. We're watchmen that has been set. I realize I'm a pastor here, watchman for the church, but folks, you're a watchman for your community. You're a watchman for the souls of men. Now, are we going to live through life and we meet people all the time, but if we never hand them a tract, we never say anything to them, we never warn them of that which is to come, is that going to be okay with God? I mean, seriously, is it? You see, well, I don't believe so. I believe that the Word of God tells us here that he's going to hold us accountable for that. But if we warn them, the blood is not on our hands. Amen. So what is the purpose of the trumpet? The purpose of the trumpet is to warn the people. We need to set the trumpet to our mouth, as he told Hosea, set the trumpet to thy mouth. And blow that trumpet and warn people about that which is to come. Amen. Brother Russ was talking to me, and we talked about it, and I said, do you find an apathy? I'm not just talking about in your church, but wherever you see, do you find an apathy with Christians about getting out and telling people and witnessing to people about Christ? He always said it's widespread. It's everywhere. There used to be some excitement in churches about soul winning and doing something for God, but you don't see that. You don't see that anymore. Excitement. You may see a little of it, but you don't see a lot of it. Folks, there ought to be excitement about Jesus coming, and there ought to be excitement about the fact that we have a responsibility to blow that trumpet. Why? To warn the people. Then, over in the book of Judges, please, if you'll turn over there to the book of Judges, the 7th chapter of the book of Judges. Next, I want to show you who is to blow the trumpet. We know we need trumpet blowers. We know there's a purpose in the blowing of the trumpet, but now we want to look and who is to blow the trumpet? Who's to do that? Let's look in Judges, the 7th chapter, verse 16. And he divided the 300 men. Of course, this is the story of Gideon. I'm not going to go back earlier and pick it all up, but you're familiar with the story of Gideon. He divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Now, I think most of you are familiar with this. We'll just cover it lightly. When that empty pitchers with a lamp inside is representative of us, the old clay, our bodies. And the only way that anybody's going to see some light of the gospel of Jesus Christ is for that clay to be broken. That's why God breaks people. See, you can't see a light with a pitcher over it. So the Lord, as we'll see here, told him and instructed him to break the pitchers, and then the lights shine. God's trying to tell you and I that we need to break these old pitchers. These old pitchers are of clay, and we need to break them so the light of Jesus Christ can shine forth. You understand? Then he says, and he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, ye shall do. And when I blow with a trumpet and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpet and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. If you'll notice the first of that story, that's a wonderful, wonderful story, but he put a trumpet in every man's hands. Who's to blow the trumpet? You are. I am. Say, I've got a reason why I can't blow the trumpet. No, you don't. You got an excuse. You got an excuse. We blow the trumpet. Well, who is to do that? Every single Christian is to blow the trumpet. You believe that? Amen. Every single Christian, every man's hand, there's a trumpet that you have a mouth to spread the word of God. You have a mouth to go forward and tell people about Christ. You have that mouth. You have no excuse. You may have an excuse, but you have no reason to not be a trumpet blower. No way. Amen. You see, God says he put one in every man's hands. See, the trumpet must be blown, and he put one in every single man's hands. And then not only that, over in 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians, 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to read verse 7 and 8 out of this. But the trumpet that we blow must have a certain sound. Listen to it. Listen to what we find. Verse number 7, and even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? You know, we could use all kinds of illustrations there, but I am telling you right now, if you put a flute in my hand and have me blow the thing, I'd be lucky to probably even know how to blow it. But if it did, you wouldn't understand its message. And you would be glad when I quit. A harp has a certain sound, but it must be a sound of distinction. Do you believe that? See, it said in verse 8, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If the trumpet doesn't blow the right kind of sound, who's going to get ready for the battle? What I'm saying to us is this: every trumpet must give a certain sound. Every life of those who have the trumpet must be a right life. How can we go tell people about Christ and witness for Christ when we're living just the opposite of that? You can't give forth an uncertain sound. I mentioned it a while ago, but listen, I'm telling you, I know Don and I. We would have never listened to the Purcells, guaranteed you, had they not had forth a good life and showed forth that they meant business with God. We've got to have a distinction, a sound that is right and proper in our life. We have to have it in our speech. I worry. I'm serious about this. I am worried about the testimony across the land of Christians out in the workforces. I am so concerned about that. I want to tell you something, and just let me hang my hat there a moment. You have a responsibility that when you go out and you work amongst this old world, to be honest in everything you do, to be kind and gracious in everything you do, give forth good speech, and not cheat your employer, and not cheat the ones you are working for. The work that you do must be good work, right work. You know why? Because we have a responsibility to give forth a certain sound, and that sound should be right and proper. You've got to be careful what you do. You say, well, other people, you know, they got mad at me, and they said, well, you're a Christian. You're different. It makes a difference how you live and the way you act and how you treat people out there in the workforce. I just believe that with all my heart, and I'm concerned about it. I hear tales of things sometimes, and people have cheated somebody, people have stole from their employer, and I look, shake my head, and I said, and you call yourself a Christian, and you go out and steal? What in the world are we doing? You see, we must have a certain sound. We're different. See, I know, but no. You're different. You're God's child. You can't do like the world does. You got to be different. And also the gospel must have a distinct sound. The gospel must be preached in truth. It must be given according to the word of God for how a person is to be saved. Amen. You see, we can't go with an uncertain sound. It must be right and proper. The trumpet must sound forth the truth of the word of God. You understand that? See, so the trumpet must give a certain sound, a right sound, a distinctive sound that is proper and right. Amen. You would be aggravated. You after bits, you'd just scream. I told you about the flute, but if I'd play the piano instead of Lori, you would be after bit. You'd be covering your ears. You really would. You'd have a right to, and you'd get mad about that if I played all the services. You would scream. But why is it we do not get aggravated when our lives don't play the right tune? Why is it? That don't bother us. You understand what I'm saying? See, it must give forth the right kind of sound. You see, the trumpet must be blown, and it must give forth the right kind of sound. I want you to go to 2 Timothy, please. 4th chapter, 2 Timothy. Verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know if you've ever taken time to think about that first part of that verse, but that's awesome. What Paul was saying as he's writing to Timothy, he said, I am giving you a charge. I'm telling you this is what you are to do. So he gives a charge to Timothy. He says, Timothy, you better listen up. And here's what I want to tell you, Timothy. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And what he said is the word preach there means to herald forth. It's like blowing a trumpet. You're to take the word of God, and what are you to preach? You are to preach the word. That's what's to be preached. And you're to herald forth like a trumpet. And how often are you to do it? All the time. In season, out of season. You see, the trumpet that we're talking about not only must be have a certain sound, it all must be blown at all times. There's no vacation for it. It must come forth in clarity, and we must do it in season and out of season. You do it because God has commanded it to be done, and as he says, and God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to judge. So he tells us that we're to preach the word and be instant in season, out of season. And what are we supposed to do? We're to reprove and rebuke. It's right. Whenever a preacher doesn't reprove or rebuke, he's being disobedient to the word of God. Amen. And also, he says, not only that, he's to exhort, to build up the brethren. I might be reproving you and rebuking you tonight if you're not doing these things, but I also want to build you up. Do it. Make this thing serious in your life. Amen. I want to exhort you to do right. Amen. You want to exhort somebody? You want to encourage somebody? You want, to do something? You want to encourage them to do right. Amen. Not wrong. Amen. So he says that's what you're to do. So the trumpet must be blown at all times, in season and out of season. And then he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what he's saying there is this. They're going to go somewhere where they'll have teachers that will preach what they want to hear. That's exactly what they do. Travel from here to there and go somewhere else. Why? Because they want, their ears are itching, and they want somebody to scratch it the way they want it to be scratched. That's exactly what happens. He said, don't you understand the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine? But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? Don't you understand that there's multitudes and multitudes that are not walking in sound doctrine now? They don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't want to be a part of sound doctrine because that changes lives. I've seen it down through the ministry. You've seen it down through the ministry. You've seen it. There's certain people, when the preaching gets a certain place, they don't want their lives changed. They just don't want to change their lives. They want it to remain the way they've always done it. And we're seeing that in America today. We're seeing it in churches today. And so he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You see, they don't want to hear the truth of God's word. And then he says, but watch thou, and he gives him a charge. Now you watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul said, you know what, Timothy? You just got to keep at it. And when the time comes, one of these days, you're going to be offered up too. One of these days, you're going to have to come home. We're going to have to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. And we better make sure that we've done right. Be sure you've preached the word. You've reproved, you've rebuked, you've exhorted, you've done right. When you meet Jesus Christ, that's all that's going to matter.
Amen.
Amen. You see, we're to do some afflicting to the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. The comfortable needs afflicted. They need to be stirred. They need to get one of those cattle prods and put on them. Stir them up. Wake them up. Get them going. Amen? That's what's needed. Well, the reason and the way that's done is by setting the trumpet to thy mouth. Set the trumpet to your mouth. We need trumpet blowers. And the purpose of the trumpet is to warn the people. People need warned today. Who's to blow the trumpet? All of us. Every one of us. And I have down through the years, and maybe you have too, I've heard so many excuses. Well, I just, as soon as they start in on that, I just, you know, shake my head. You know, I've got these reasons why I can't be a trumpet blower. And they are excuses. Because there's a way for you to be a trumpet blower. Yes, there is. It must have a certain sound, not an uncertain sound. And it must be all the time, in season and out of season. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you for your grace and your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for the word of God. And I just trust, Lord, you'll help us all to look at this tonight and realize the needs of this nation, of the churches, and Father, of the individuals. Lord God, help us to blow the trumpet and awake people out of their sleep. Now, Father, your will be done. If there's any here without Christ, I pray for their salvation. Trust Christ to be saved. If there's Christians here tonight, Lord, that just needs to be awakened, needs to come to an old altar prayer and just give themselves to the Lord, we certainly pray and ask you, God, to do whatever needs to be done in our lives tonight that we might be more like you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.